While you guys are turning there, I just want to thank God for my salvation. Amen. I want to thank God because, man, without God, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know. I would probably be in the streets. I would probably be, I don't know where I'd be. But I thank God that, man, that he chooses the foolish things of the world. Amen. And I want to thank my leadership. I want to thank the gang leadership. I thank you guys. I love you guys. And I'm honored. I love the gang. I just, man, I brag about the gang all the time. When I go to school, that's all I talk about is the gang. And I want to thank my auntie, my uncle, they're my mom and my papa, they're my parents. I thank them for, man, for putting up with me, for dealing with me, for discipling me, for taking me in like their own, because they, man, they knew when I was still in the world, they knew that God had called my life, and they took on the challenge, amen, and they took me in. So I thank you guys, I love you guys, and amen. Are you guys all there? Let me hear you say, Jesus. Amen. So the word of God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I come before you right now, God, and I thank you for your grace, my God, and I pray that you would just remove me aside, God, that you would increase as I would decrease, my God, and you would use me as a vessel right now, my God, and just let your anointing fall, God, here tonight, and we love you and we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all say amen. So, like I was saying, from when I was born, my life, it was like my life was destined for me. I didn't come out with opportunities. It was like I came out and I was born to druggy parents. My dad was a crackhead and my mom was an ice head. It's like that was the only thing on their mind was their drugs. And then there I came along and it was like, for them, it was like, man, man, it's they weren't ready for me. But how many know that God don't make no junk, amen? And tell your neighbor, say, God don't make junk. Amen. But how many know that just the way that God has plans for our life, man, the enemy has plans for our lives. Like it says in John 10:10, that the enemy comes, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And man, that's what the enemy had planned for my life. The enemy planned to take me out from when I was young, from when before I was even born. And my mom, she didn't want me. My parents didn't want me at the time. And it was like I was a burden for them. So man, that was the first tactic that the enemy used to try to take me out. But God was like, no. I have plans for this little girl's life. And God allowed me to come into the world. Amen. And I may not be the smartest crown in the box. Amen. But I know some medical terminologies. So in the medical terminology, I was born with, it's called a positive for methamphetamine, but in the hood terminology, they call it a crack baby or an ice baby, however you want to call it. That was me. I was born, when my mom was pregnant with me, she would still do drugs, she would still get high, and so all that drugs, it went into her system, and it got into me. So I was born meth positive, and sometimes it could come out a little bit. I could get a little crazy. I got a little extra energy, but now I use it for God, amen. But and I was being trained young. I was a little criminal in diapers, amen. They would call me the diaper thief if I had a name, but I didn't have a name. My parents, I would stroll with them. I was like their little homie. I would stroll with them in the stroller. They would take me with them they would do anything for drugs. So they would take me with them and they would go to different stores or to different places or even to my family's house, and they would go and steal their stuff, and then they would use me as like, they would put in the stroller, like stuff was all hanging out the stroller. I called my dad up and I was asking him to help me with this, and then he was like, yeah, one time I went to Home Depot and I tried to act slick and steal something and I got caught. But the only reason that they didn't call the cops was because they felt bad because I had you with me in the stroller. So how many know that God uses our lives even when we're in strollers, amen? So but from the ages of 1 to 4, I didn't really have a place to call home. I was like a gypsy. I would just go from place to place because my parents were so caught up. They were so caught up in their drug life. They were so caught up in and smoking that dope, they would do whatever it takes. That it was like, man, I wasn't even on their mind. They were just like, put me wherever. My parents would put me with their juggy friends, or I would stay here and there and everywhere. I was all around the place. And San Diego's a big place. I grew up in the city of San Diego, and that's in California, in the mainland. But mostly I would stay with my grandparents on my mom's side. But even there, my step-grandpa, he was a drunk. He was always drunk. He would always yell at us. He was crazy. So no matter where I went, it was like, it was just trouble. It was chaos. It was crazy. And from being little, I was smart too. I was like, I had a lot of street smarts because that's what I was around. So I learned to pick up little things. So from being little, when I would just stay there by myself and I would wonder, man, where are my parents? You know, like, where is my mom and where's my dad? Like, and then I would go to school and I would see everyone with their parents, and I would see like kids get picked up by their parents. And then I would like have to walk home from school because they forgot me. Starting from when I was little, I began to question my life. I began to question God because I always knew God. Because my family, they knew God, but they didn't know God. They knew of God, but they didn't know God. So I kind of knew God, and I was like, man, God, you must not be all that great because I kind of got dealt the wrong cards here. So from when I was little, I began to question my life, and I began to question the purpose of my life. But even if I were to go with my parents, I would go with them to, they would stick me in the back seat of the car, and I would go with them to drug deals, and San Diego's pretty crazy. They have some pretty crazy ghettos. There's different ghettos, and they're crazy. Like, you walk outside and then you gotta fight for your life. But so there's some crazy hotels. So my parents, they would rent hotels, and they had a lot of crazy friends, so they would rent hotels with their friends just to get high. They did anything to get high, and I would go with them. I would go with them to these hotels, and they would stick me in the bathroom, and they would stick a towel under the door thinking that it would stop the smoke from seeping in, but I got high without ever putting a drug to my mouth. It was crazy because the smoke would seep in, and I would come out to a room full of smoke. And I was thinking about it, and I started laughing because I was like, I imagine myself coming out the bathroom all crazy, and I'm all like 3 years old. So that's what I was surrounded by. And my grandma, my mom's mom, that was my Nana Donna. I called her my Nana Donna. She even tried to give me ADD pills because she thought that I had ADD because I had so much energy. I was just so hyper. I loved to play. I loved to sing, and they wouldn't let me sing. They told me that I gave them a headache. So they would shut me down. I was like, oh man. So she tried to give me ADD pills, but man, I thank God that though sometimes we go through stuff, that God sends different things in our life. God sent a guardian angel in my life, and this is my other grandma, my dad's mom, and man, she was my guardian angel, and she told my other grandma, my Nana Donna, she was like, no, you ain't giving my granddaughter no ADD pills. She's just energetic. She doesn't have ADD. So I thank God for her, and I believe that from when I was little, that God had a greater plan for my life. And in Psalms 91:11, the Bible says, For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And I read this and I held it as a promise because I remember, like, even one time my mom, she was driving a car, and she totaled the car because she was with her crazy friends and she wanted to get her drug fix. And so she totaled the car, and I was in the back seat of the car. But man, there wasn't a scratch on my body. And I believe that God had his hand upon my life, and that God protected me, that God shielded my life. And even though these little things may have thrown me off a little bit, that God still had his hand upon my life. And amen. And then so at the age of 5, my Nana Donna, they moved away to a different country, to Georgia, Atlanta, and they didn't want to take me with them. they said, no, we can't afford to take her with us. She's going to have to stay here. And because my parents are nowhere to be found, they were crackheads. They weren't even in the picture no more. So I was going to go into a foster home. I was going to go into a foster home and become a ward of the state of California. But here comes my guardian angel grandma again. She's the bomb. I love her. And she came and man, she took on the challenge to take me. And she says, no, I'm not going to let her go to a foster home. I'm not going to let her be raised by people she don't even know. I'm going to take her in and I'm going to raise her like my own. So at the age of 5, my grandparents got custody of me. And they, man, they're, my grandparents were the bomb. They're really religious. They loved God. So I got, that's where I began to get my Christian, they're Catholics, so I began to get my knowledge of God, and my grandma, she would let me sing, she would sing with me, so I was so happy, so she would teach me songs, and they were so good to me. I began to get good grades, and I did good in school, and I would always get awards. I was like a teacher's pet. I was the one that got on people's nerves, because I always wanted to be with the teacher, and get on the teacher's good side, and I would always get awards for responsibility. But no matter how good they were to me, it was like, man, there was still a void in my life. It was like, I wanted to try to ignore it because I wanted to be grateful, and I was grateful, but they couldn't, no matter how much they tried, they couldn't fill the void of my parents. They couldn't answer the questions that I had. Why wasn't I good enough for my parents? Why wasn't I good enough to make my mom stop doing drugs? Why wasn't I more important to my parents than the drugs were? And those were the things that would go through my mind. And I was already a little older now. I was already in elementary school. And then I was really good at hiding it, though. I wouldn't tell nobody. Nobody knew the things that I'd went through. Nobody knew my home situation. I would always just put a smile on my face. But, man, deep down, it must be me. I felt like it was me. There must be something wrong with me. There must be a reason why I wasn't good enough. Like, it was because I'm not pretty enough? Is it because I'm not smart enough? Is it because I came at the wrong time? So I would ask these questions to myself. And then at the age of 8, my grandpa died. And it was like, it was a blow to me because my grandpa was the closest thing that I had to my dad. And he was so good to me. And when he died, it was like another hit. And that's when I began to question God even more. Like, I was like, God, why did you have to take my grandpa? He was the one that, man, I thought was gonna raise me and be my dad. And so when my grandpa died, I was already in like fifth grade. I was already about to go into middle school. So I began to not completely be rebellious, but like I was stepping into a little bit. Like I was like, test, you know, before you go into a pool, you put your foot in the water to test to see if it's cold. That's what I was doing. I was putting my foot in the water a little bit. I was like, maybe it's okay. And then I would step back a little bit. And then I'd put my foot in again. And then I would step back a little bit. So I wasn't quite rebellious yet, but I was getting there. And then me and my grandma, when I started becoming more rebellious, we begin to fight a lot. And how many know that when you're hurt, you tend to hurt other people without even knowing it? I was so ignorant, and I was like, no, you're the reason, but I was so hurt that I didn't want to listen to nothing that nobody had to say. And so I went through my middle school years, and I began to just get more rebellious. I would always look at my past, and I would always be like, look at the things that happened to me. And my parents were still, I never lived with my parents. My mom lives somewhere, and my dad lives somewhere else. And I would hardly ever see them. And I would question it. I would call them, and I would be like, don't you guys love me? I'm like, hello. I would call them, and I would ask them, and I would be like, remember you guys had a baby about 15 years ago? And then I would call them. And so I was going through my middle school years, and my mom was in prison. My mom was in prison at that time. So I was just like, for me, it was like, whatever, you know, but I was still okay. I was still getting good grades. I was still at that point where I wasn't completely in, like, I was kind of like halfway in, like I stopped dipping my foot in and I stepped halfway over the line. But then somebody say, but then, I was about to graduate eighth grade and everything was going good. And then the day came. How many know that those days come where you remember it? It's all 10 years ago. You remember it like it was yesterday. The day came when I found out that my dad had gotten arrested, and it was like someone socked me in my stomach, and I was like, oh man, not a, like I was just mad my whole life. I had to deal with my parents in and out of jail, and now this time, and I was graduating eighth grade, and it was right before I was gonna graduate eighth grade and go into high school, and so after that, it was like, man, it was just downhill for me. So I started partying even more. I was never really a drug user. I told myself I didn't want to be like my parents. I told myself that no matter what happened, that I was never going to touch a drug in my life because I seen the outcome of it. So I stuck to partying. I loved to party. I would go out the house. My grandma would tell me no, and I would still go out the house, and I would go with my friends to parties, and I started to drink. We had wine bottles stashed in our house because I don't know why we had wine bottles stashed in our house, but we did. We had them like in these cabinets in the kitchen, but they were like old wine bottles that nobody used. They were just there. And so my grandma's a hard worker. So she was always away at meetings or working. And so I was home by myself a lot. So how many know sometimes when we're home by ourselves, it's not good. So I was home by myself a lot, and I started to take the wine bottles, and I just started to drink them. They were like big wine bottles, like that big too. And I'll drink them all, and I would pity myself. It's like I would just sit there, and it's like in the movies, like I would sit there and I would just drink, and I would be like, start thinking about my past, and I would start thinking about my parents, and I would start thinking about things that happened to me. And then eventually, when stuff starts getting bad, they tend to get worse. So then after that, I started cutting myself because I was like, man, God, like, if this is what I'm going to have to deal with my whole life, I felt like this is what my life is going to be like. This is what my life is destined to be like. Then I don't want it. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with the rejection pain. I don't want to deal with having to wake up every morning wondering why I can't wake up to my parents, wondering why I had to go through the things that I did. And so I started cutting myself, and it wasn't honestly intended to kill myself, but it was like an attention seeker. Like I was like, if this is what it takes for someone to notice me, if this is what it takes for someone to say I'm here, like you can cry with me, you can tell me, you can talk to me, then this is what I gotta do. So after that, the social services started getting involved. They came to my school. They came to my house, and I was hard. I didn't want to talk to nobody. I kicked the social worker out of my house because she was actually really mean. But I kicked her out of my house. I told her, I was like, I didn't want any help. I didn't want nobody's help. I didn't want God. I didn't want my grandma. Me and my grandma were fighting like never. I would run away from my house, and I remember that my phone, my family would be blowing up my phone, and I would all be, you know, sometimes when you run away from the house and you just go to like down the street and you sit at the store because you never really ran away to anywhere else. So I would go, and there was a Jack in the Box down the street. So I would sit there at Jack in the Box for hours and just watching my phone blow up, and I wouldn't answer nobody's calls. And so I would run away from my house, and I would take knives with me in my backpack to school. I would keep them under my pillow because I was like, just in case I wake up and I feel like that, just in case I don't want to deal with it no more. And I would have it as a backup there. But I thank God that God never allowed for me to go any further than that, because he knew that he was going to do something greater with my life. Amen. And so I graduated from eighth grade. I still managed to graduate with honors in math. I don't know what happened there, but so then after I graduated, this was like the turning point in my life. This was the first trip that I made here to Hawaii. I came out here to Hawaii for a vacation. My uncle, my tio Turi, he was always on secret phone calls with my grandma. I was like, man, do you guys have like some secret line? Because I would always see her talking to him on the phone. And so he said, send her out here. Hawaii is a place of restoration. So my grandma was already like, I don't know. My grandma didn't know what to do with me no more. She was frustrated. She didn't want she didn't know what to do with me because no matter what she did, it didn't seem to be working. So I came out here to Hawaii and God touched my life. And for a second, I felt like I wanted God. For a second, I felt like, okay, maybe it's going to be okay. Then I went back home. I went back home to San Diego, but I was determined to serve God. I wanted to serve God. I went back and I did my first Passion for Purity. I started going back to Victory Outreach in San Diego, and I was determined. But how many know sometimes it's hard to serve God in an unsaved household? And I know what that's like. And as much as I was determined, I wanted to serve God, I didn't have the spiritual strength. I couldn't do it. I fell short. I never fully surrendered my life to God. I never really let go of the world. I was never ready to let go of the world. I still love the world. I love the feeling of partying. I love the feeling of when you drink and when I loved it when I was in the world, and I wasn't ready to let go of it. And then I went to high school, and high school is kind of crazy sometimes. But as the keyboard player makes his way up, please. But in the midst of all this, little did I know that God was working. That little did I know that God had a plan for my life. Little did I know that I was going to end up here in Hawaii on the islands of restoration in a place of new beginnings. And little did I know that I was going to end up here and that God is going to move in my life. And so after my ninth grade year, it was either I didn't have any more options. I was running out of options for my life. My grandma was running out of options on what to do with me. She would cry. I would make her cry, and we would just cry, and I would go in my room and I would cry, and she would go in her room and she would cry, and she would ask me, she'd be like, why are you doing this? She would ask me in tears, like, you know, those tears of a mom, that anguish that a mom cries when you're not doing good. And I felt the pain, but I was so hard inside that I didn't want to surrender. I didn't want to admit to the fact that I needed to change. And she would ask me, she would tell me, she'd be like, I already went through this once. I already went through all of this. I'm not going to go through it again. And I knew I loved my grandma. I still love her to this day. I love her with all my heart. And I never wanted to hurt her. I never wanted to see her cry. It would hurt me to see her cry. It would make my heart hurt. But I was so hard. I was so hurt. I was so lost in my pain that it didn't matter to me. It was like that drug. It was like my parents when they were on their drugs and they didn't care about me. That's what it was like with me, with my hurt, with my pain. When man, I would feel rejected whenever people would tell me something. I would kind of isolate myself because I hated the feeling of getting rejected. I hated the feeling of feeling like I wasn't good enough. And for me, just to even, I didn't think I was pretty. I was like, man, why did you have to make me like this? Why did I have to look like this? Why couldn't I look like something else? And I would think, maybe if I could just do this, I would be prettier. Maybe if I could just do this, I would be better for people. So I was so hurt that I didn't know what to do anymore. And my grandma and my uncle were having their secret phone calls again. And how many thank God for spiritual seeker phone calls sometimes? Not other seeker phone calls, but spiritual seeker phone calls, amen. And my grandma was like, man, Turi, I don't know what to do no more. I don't know what to do with her. I can't do it no more. And my auntie, my uncle, she wasn't my auntie like a long time ago, but they just got married. And my uncle, he heard the call and he saw the need that was in my life, and he told my grandma, he was like, man, if we don't get her out here, we're gonna lose her. If we don't make that impact in her life now, then we're never gonna be able to do it. So my grandma, I happened to be eavesdropping in their conversation. My uncle didn't know till after, but I was eavesdropping, and then my uncle was like, send her out here to live, let her come live with us. And at first, I was like, I don't want to go live out there. It's so far. And I knew that if I came out here, that something was going to have to change. I knew that if I came out here, that I wasn't going to be able to stay the same. And my grandma was like, okay, pack your bags. You're going to live with your uncle. But at first we put a time limit, but how many know we can't put a time limit on God, amen? So God, because God had different plans. Our plans aren't God's plans, amen? And so now I thank God, because despite all the things that I went through, despite my background, despite, you know, the different cards that I got dealt, that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, amen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, and this scripture is the bomb, amen. It says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong, amen. And I thank God, because I'm not strong on my own. On my own, I'm the weakest thing in the world. But man, God seen what he had created me for. And so I came and moved out here, and it took me a while. I never wanted to surrender all that I had to God. I still wanted to hold on to the world. I wasn't ready to let go of my worldly music. I wasn't ready to let go. I came in with the nose ring, and I wasn't ready to let go of my nose ring because I loved it. I wasn't ready to let go of the things that I had been living, because that's all that I knew. That's all that I knew, and I wasn't ready. But man, it came a point in my life where God said, stop running already. And tonight, I don't know the different backgrounds. Some of you may come from broken families. Some of you may come from drug abuse parent, where your parents are drug addicts, or different backgrounds, just poverty, different things that you guys may have gone through. But man, let me tell you that despite the different backgrounds that we go through, that God has called us. God has a calling on your life. And the same way that God was able to take someone like me, someone that didn't want him, someone that turned my back on God. I turned my back on God, and he still chose me. He gave me like so many chances. And I know it was because he had something for my life. Amen. And if we could all stand here tonight. The same way that God has called me, the same way that God took me out of the things that I was in, is the same way that God has called you guys. It may not be the same calling, it may be a different calling, but God has called this generation. God has called each and every one of you guys. And I know we hear that all the time. This is our time to shine. This is our time to win our generation. But now is the time where it really needs to seep into our hearts, where we really need to understand the deepness, the man that God has called us. God has called you. And it took me a while to surrender to God. So tonight, I believe, is a night of surrendering. Tonight is a night where, man, we say, okay, I'm going to let go of the things that I used to do. I'm going to let go of the worldly things. I'm going to let go of the world, because we can't serve God and the world at the same time. We have to choose one. And I'm praying tonight that your decision will be to choose God, because serving God is the best thing, is the best thing that I've ever done. And I never regret it. I never regret giving my life to God. And I encourage you guys tonight, if you guys want to come to these altars and just surrender to God, surrender all that you are to God, because we're called to break bondages on these generations. We're called to go out to the four corners. So tonight, let it be a night of surrenderance, where we no longer hold on to the things that hold us down, where we no longer hold on to the things of the world, but we let God take control of our lives.